the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
So, today, the Church appoints that we celebrate all the saints of Russia. And following Pentecost, we celebrated all saints, and today, all the saints of Russia. And so it is that when we hear the gospel today, it gives us a window into the whole question of sanctity and holiness. And it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And so it is, what brings people to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and to salvation is the call of God. And I think perhaps we have never been able to look deeply within our own hearts and souls and to see that what God has given us, he has given us because he called us. Perhaps we would like to think that somehow or other we're clever and we discover things on our own, but the reality is that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ has called us to the church. He has called us to salvation, and he has called us to a very unique ministry. And that ministry is that we become mediators of the uncreated energies of God. And so it is, the Russian land was a land of many tribes and different various cults of pagan religions and so on. And Prince Vladimir of Kiev, seeking to bring unity to this diverse group of people, decided to send emissaries, representatives, first to Rome and to the Roman Catholics, and to the Muslims, and also to Constantinople, to the church, the great church of Hagia Sophia. And so his emissaries went forth, and they visited the Roman Catholics and spoke with their bishops and so on. They went to the Muslims and spoke with them, and then they went to Hagia Sophia and entered the church. And they said that when they entered the church during the divine liturgy, they knew not whether they were in heaven or on earth. For the glory of God certainly was in this place. And based on this, called the Russian primary chronicle, which records this event. And so it is, they came back to Prince Saint Vladimir, and they gave their opinions. And so it is through this enlightenment, Prince Vladimir brought the Russian tribes and many, many different tribes together into a unity, and from that established a great nation in which the Word of God prospered, in which the Word of God went forth profoundly, converting the people and bringing many, many of the people who had converted to true sanctity and holiness as spiritual fathers and leaders of the Holy Church. And it is for us a great encouragement. And today also we read the Beatitudes. And it's quite interesting because on the one hand, we have the fishermen being called to the Holy Church, but we also have the Holy Beatitudes. And And I think the Beatitudes reveal to us what we must be and become. It says, and seeing the multitudes hearing what his teaching, he went out up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these few words, this is just the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And who are the poor in spirit? And I think that we're not talking about social standing. We're talking about a spiritual inner condition. And the poor in spirit are those who have humility. The poor in spirit are those who reflect upon the inner life and realize that there's tremendous turmoil and imperfection deep within our hearts and our minds. And we, because of this, no matter what riches and standing we may have in the world, looking inside, people of all standings discover their poverty, their true poverty, their spiritual poverty. Seeing, of course, their passions and their frustrations. And he said, and they come, perhaps, to humility. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you know, I think we're a very material society. We hear the words kingdom of heaven, and we think of a socio-political entity, but that's somehow governed by God's laws. But the reality is the kingdom of heaven is in the heart of each and every man. It's the potential for the kingdom of heaven is in each and every person's heart. And what the kingdom is, it's actually, if you look at the Greek, which is a language that lives in a very unique way, and it brings meaning to us. The kingly, what it really means is the kingly power of heaven. And that kingly power is really the life of the Holy Spirit, which enters the heart and dwells there. And from that unity of heart and mind and the whole personality of the person in whom it manifests itself, the kingly power of God radiates out and it shines upon all the people who are near us. And they, little by little, by the grace of God, can also come to this realization of inner spiritual impoverishment, which can only be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the kingly power of God manifests itself and creates the kingdom. That is, it establishes a rule of salvation. And a rule of godliness, and a rule that leads us step by step to perfection. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, you, each and every one of you, are here today because you have been called. Make no mistake, you did not come of your own volition. It may seem as though, yes, you decided to come, and then you dressed appropriately, and you came forth, and you're in the context of the church. But in reality, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who looks down from his heavenly throne, peered into your hearts, to our hearts, and saw the capacity for the love of God. And saw the capacity for godliness and holiness. You have been called, each and every one individually, have been called to the kingdom of God, to the kingly heaven. And he says, second, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this goes with the whole concept of the poor in spirit, namely that when one looks deep within one's own heart and mind and looks clearly at who we are, what we are, and all the distractions that beset us, we understand that we are poor, and we should mourn over our sinfulness, and we should mourn and grieve over our imperfection. Because if we sincerely and truly mourn and repent, then we will be comforted. And who is the comforter? St. John the Evangelist is the comforter, the Spirit of God. And the comforter, the Spirit of God, comes to those who look at their condition and mourn. And I think what it's saying here is it's an extension of humility, because we realize that here we are in this condition, of human condition, with all of our faults and all of our inadequacies and all of our weaknesses, and we realize that we actually can't fix them. We cannot fix them ourselves. And so we become saddened, perhaps, and we mourn. But if we mourn in the light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, He will send His Comforter and His Spirit to lift us up. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And again, this whole concept of humility and meekness. And why inherit the earth? Because those who are humble and meek and in the context of faith become strong in the Holy Spirit. And so it is that they can go forth and live within the context of this world and not conquering it in themselves, but having the power of the Holy Spirit within them conquer the world in simplicity. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So here the humility that has been proclaimed and the meekness is leads us, when the light of Christ shines upon us, it leads us toward a thirst for righteousness and holiness. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. One of the greatest virtues of all is to be merciful, to be kind, to be loving. And we're challenged every day. Each and every one of us is challenged in different ways. Things come up. Irritations come up. People are rude. People are unkind. People sometimes attack us in different ways. And people resist their responsibilities. And what are we called to do? To be merciful, so that we can obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Namely, as we learn in Christ our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ to show kindness and mercy through our own hearts toward others, so then God is merciful to us. And He forgives. And perhaps the word forgives is too material in a sense. He releases us from our sins. And He releases us from the darkness that binds us. And He sets us free. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this, of course, is such a great glory. The Holy Fathers, particularly the Ascetical Fathers. But it's a theme throughout even the Old Testament and the New, is the desire to see God. What do you think? To see God. Can we see God? And those who are pure in heart, who go through this this course of humility and mourning and meekness and hungering and mercifulness, become pure of heart. And what happens is that the mind is able in prayer to look up don't mean this physically, but to look up and see the light of Christ. And of course, our creation is so beautifully endowed with symbolism, and we see the rising of the sun and how the light comes upon us. And I think any healthy soul who sees the rising of the sun and perhaps has the opportunity from time to time to stand in the presence of the light, the rising of the sun early in the morning, and feel the warmth, and the warmth invigorates us. And even the natural light has a sense of cleansing to us, and it drives away perhaps our morning depression and our idleness and so on. And if the sun, the natural sun, can do this, how much more can the light of Christ, which shines upon us, change us and renew us and recreate us in His own image? And so the next beatitude: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That is, those who are cleansed and purified by the light of Christ literally become sons of God. And so it is that we would want to become sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And this, of course, we hear these words of persecution. And if we look at the Apostolic Church, we of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were martyred. I mean, the numbers of martyrs from the Jews and mostly from the Romans in the first three centuries. I mean, it's in the hundreds of thousands. And can you imagine this? That our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is calling us to godliness in a hostile world. And He warns us, you will be persecuted. However, in this warning is the promise of everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. And among the glory of the saints. So, on this day, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, so the gospel speaks to every one of us. In the 1700s, the Russian church began missionary work in Alaska. And St. Herman, Alaska, who was born in 1755, and at the age of 16, he entered a monastery. So here is this, I mean, from our standards today, a child almost, 16 years old. But in his time, he was truly a young man, and he was able to hear the call of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and enter the monastery of St. Sergius near Petersburg. And he had an elder that guided him and taught him. And so he was for 39 years, for 23 years he was in this monastery, being guided and perfected in the ways of piety and holiness. And then he joined a mission to America, and under the direction of the Abbot Nazarius. And he and eight monks and went from Palermo to then to Kodiak, Alaska. And there they established the mission. And St. Herman was one of these remarkable men who had the Holy Spirit of God. And also, he had great gifts of teaching and preaching. He was a monk, not a priest or a deacon, but nevertheless, he proclaimed the gospel to the native peoples and to the Aleutians and so on, and spread the gospel. And how did he spread it? He spread it through prayer and through humility, and then through kindness and good works, always struggling to be an example of the light of Christ. And as a result of his long work, which is too much, really, I think, to review, the Alaskan mission was founded. Now, there were many others, Chogodale and St. Innocent and so on. But Herman Alaska was, you might say, the heart. He being the heart of this missionary work in Alaska and in America. And so today, we not only celebrate the Russian saints, on All Saints, but those Russians who came to America and were first here through Alaska and began to sow the seeds of piety. May we, each and every one of us, in our own way, receive the Holy Spirit of God today, again, and continuously. May it be renewed in us, that we can be an example of the light of Christ shining in this world, and that through this light, may we first ourselves be nourished and sanctified, and may we also become mediators of the uncreated energies of God, so that others can come to the holy faith. And in these troubled times, you can believe that we desperately need the faith and the guidance of the Holy Church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.